Hello, everybody, and welcome to our very, very, very special call for our Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training. We have a special guest today, and his name is Dr. Dickon Weatherby, and you all know who he is because you've been playing around and using the Functional Blood Chemistry software tool. And I'm just so thrilled to have Dr. Weatherby here to share his wisdom and some of the way he approaches the functional blood chemistry, how he's put together the software. He's going to go through how the software works, go through some cases. And I just want you to just get some notes out, get some pad out, paper out, and take notes as we go along, because this is going to be just awesome. So Dr. Weatherby, thank you so very much.
You are so welcome. Welcome, everybody, to this little coaching call that we're going to do. And I'm thrilled that you're all using the software and hopefully getting a lot out of it. I know that your clients and patients will be very grateful to finally have a way to be able to provide meaning to these test results that they've been getting for many, many years. So this is functional blood chemistry analysis and the blood chemistry analysis software. And I look at blood chemistry analysis as your diagnostic advantage, because when you look through the lens of functional medicine and through the functional analysis of blood chemistry results, it's a huge advantage to you based upon how 99% of people are looking at these tests. I consider blood testing to be one of the most important, if not the most important, assessment tool for the identification of clinical conditions and dysfunctions. When I look at it through the functional realm, I can get a sense of where have you been in the past that has brought you to this particular blood test. And then I also look at what's happening kind of currently with you, because obviously you've had this test done and it kind of concretizes what's happening in your body in a snapshot of right now. And also I think there are predictive ways to look and see where you're going. And when I look at where they're going, I almost see two paths coming out from the single point. And really, when we look at the functional analysis, we're really looking at trends towards a particular dysfunction or particular condition, or trends towards health and wellness. And obviously, we all want our patients to go towards health and wellness. So one of the things that you can sit down with your clients is going, listen, this is just a snapshot of where you are right now. And we can see two pathways going off. If you don't start paying attention to these things now and wait until they become significant, then your life is going to be more problematic. But if you start paying attention now and start doing the things with your diet, your lifestyle, your exercise, nutritional supplementation, herbal medicine, whatever it is that your treatment choices are, you have the potential to really make a radical change in people's lives. Because human blood really is a walking library of information. It's about the state of our patient's functional health and well-being, past, present, and future. And I consider blood testing is no longer simply a part of disease or injury management the way that it has been for so many, many years. I consider it to be a vital component of a comprehensive functional medicine workup and a vital component of comprehensive health promotion and disease prevention. Let's move along to our next slide here. So there's a little agenda here. I'm going to give a little brief case study, what I consider to be the standard approach. So I'm going to pretend to be kind of an anonymous medical doctor. And when I say medical doctor, I don't mean to be disparaging to medical doctors. I mean allopathically trained people who are coming through with their lens of allopathic medicine. And they're doing their best. They're doing their best based upon the training that they've had and the resources they have available to them. So if at any time it seems that I'm disparaging the medical profession, I'm not. I'm just really using that as an analogy of what a lot of our patients are experiencing. So we'll do that kind of standard approach. Then I'm going to kind of do a little bit of brief review of functional blood chemistry analysis, and then going to jump into using blood chem software in your clinical practices. A little bit about, you know, kind of what lab test to order maybe. We'll talk about that. And then we'll continue that brief case study and we'll look at it through the functional approach. So let's take a quick jump in here, our case study. So this is a 44-year-old male, came to the clinic suffering from low libido, poor immune function, fatigue, abdominal weight gain, muscle, and joint pain. Sounds quite familiar to a lot of the male patients that I have, consult with. So, you know, fatigue, abdominal weight gain, frequent coughs and colds, last few winters, low libido, low drive. That's how he talked about it. He says, don't have the drive to do things anymore. Frequent muscle and joint pain, shortness of breath, and dizziness. So I'm going to run through the lab report that came back. This is the lab panel that came back on this guy. And I want to start out like many, many physicians do, is reviewing the original blood test results. This is the report that we get back from the lab. Let's see how much information we can gain about this patient's state of health. Because ultimately, we're really trying to determine where are they on this health continuum, all the way from disease on one end to full functional health on the other. So let's see if this blood test, just looking at it the way that it's presented here, can really tell us about this patient's health and wellness. Well, we can see, I'm sorry that the scanning isn't that great here. You can see from this page here that there's nothing outside of the normal range. So this is how you would read it. You know, you've got your glucose, you've got the results, you've got the units, you've got the reference interval. This is kind of the normal range. And as you can see, there's nothing here out of normal. Sorry, this is a little bit, the scan didn't go very well, but ultimately the three things that would, you know, cause me to pay attention here would be the total cholesterol is 200. That's considered to be high based upon their normal reference ranges. LDL cholesterol is high at 120. The lymphocytes are high at 47. And then the DHEA sulfate is low at 83.7. So basically, you know, we only have four values that are out of the normal reference range. We've got a high cholesterol at 200, a high LDL at 120, a high lymphocytes at 47, and the DHEA sulfate is low at 83.7. Everything else is normal. So let's kind of put our allopathic medical hat on, and I'm sure many of you have sat through these appointments where either you or a loved one that you're with has had an allopathic physician kind of look at blood test results and kind of give you the spiel. So, you know, based upon reviewing your blood test results, everything seems to be looking really good. Your cholesterol and LDL are a little bit too high, but your triglycerides look good, as does your cardiac CRP. So a little too much cholesterol. We could talk about, you know, medication that you can take to bring that cholesterol down, so it's less of a risk factor for cardiovascular disease, but I'm not sure whether that's really necessary. So why don't we wait and we'll do a couple of repeat tests over the next few months to see if it stays high. If it does, we can get you on medication that should bring that down into the normal reference range. All your electrolytes look good. Calcium, protein, globulin, they all look good. Liver enzymes are all normal. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with your liver. So I'm kind of like just scrolling down through here. Your proteins, your albumin, your globulins, these are all normal. Your bilirubin's normal here, and your liver enzymes are all looking good. So nothing really wrong here with the liver. Here's your cholesterol values, just as, like I said, a little bit too high. Then we look at the CBC. Everything all looks good. This is looking at the size of your red blood cells, how many red blood cells you have. This is sort of an anemia type of thing. Everything looks normal. I'm a little concerned your lymphocytes are a little bit too high. You did report that you were kind of feeling a little bit run down. So I'm wondering if you might be kind of having a little bit of a viral infection, maybe some kind of cough, cold, or flu maybe causing this. So there's not much we can do about a high lymphocyte value right now. If it continues to be high, we'll definitely pay attention to that. Testosterone all looks good. DHEA sulfate is a little bit low. Thyroid is all looking good. Your prostate is good here, prostatic specific antigen. Insulin's fine. All of your thyroid markers are good. So ultimately, this is not really telling us very much about what's going on in the state of health of this patient. Now, probably the one value that, or maybe the two values that they can probably look at are the lymphocytes telling them about a potential viral infection or this low DHEA sulfate. You know, they might, if they were nutritionally minded, put you on some DHEA just to try and get this number back up again. But they're not really looking at it from this holistic perspective of what role does DHEA play in the whole cycle of hormones in the body. The trouble with this approach is that these traditional lab reports lack meaning. And if you look at just the way that they're laid out, it's almost designed to be deliberately obscure. It's a long list of names, most of which your clients and patients have never really heard of, a lot of acronyms, a lot of initials that they might not know, BUN, ALT, AST, GGT, a lot of things that they are going to be confused about. You might get an occasional high and an occasional low, the reference ranges, obscure units. So there's nothing about this report here that is designed to provide any form of meaning to your patients. The sad thing about it is that thousands and thousands of these reports are handed to patients every single day. And tons of patient data is amassed and codified in these reports. And though these data can guide and direct our personal health journey, most of the meaning suggested by the data is unfortunately lost. The issue isn't certainly the lack of data, because as we can see, there's tons of it. There's, what, 60 different elements there. There's a lot of data. But rather the absence of a tool powerful enough to tease out the meaning entrapped within those numbers. So this is oftentimes an experience that a patient will have. They'll sit down, and if they're lucky, the physician will hand them that report. Oftentimes they don't. They might walk out with some sort of chicken scratch notes, and ultimately the true value and the real meaning contained with the data is not shared with the patient, primarily because the allopathic physician doesn't have the tools available to them. And so the most common thing that we hear back from clients who've had this type of traditional reporting done is that they hear over and over again, everything looks normal. But I think that there's a real, real problem with normal. And this slide here is really designed to kind of show you what the issues are with normal. Lab data are tricky. Its meaning is derived from the traditional allopathic response is by comparing it to quote unquote normal values. So the first question we should ask ourselves is, well, where do these normal values come from? From where are these normals derived? Well, the conventional, the standard, or the normal reference ranges are based on normal or Gaussian distributions of a bell curve. I'm going to kind of get a little bit specific here. And this says that 95% of the population are normal. So this is the green right here. So 95% of the tested population is going to fall here, not because their health issues say that they're normal, but because statistics says that they're normal. 2.5% of any value is going to be high, and 2.5% of the population are going to be abnormally high or abnormally low. So this is based on statistics, and it's not whether a certain value represents good health or good function. Normal ranges are designed to identify and diagnose disease states, tissue changes, and pathology. So when an allopathic physician's review a patient's blood test, their only concern is when a particular result is outside the normal reference range, because values outside of the normal reference range are designed to do their best at identifying and diagnosing disease states and pathology. One of the problems with this is that the normal reference range based upon a population or a disease prevalence in a general population will change. If you could imagine that the population is getting slowly sicker and sicker, but they still have to keep 95% of the population in this normal reference range. This line here for what's abnormally low and this line for what's abnormally high will start to change, not based upon what's optimal, but based upon what they're seeing in the statistical population. So this leaves a very large number of the population testing in a range that is considered normal, which means from our sort of functional perspective, is a far cry from being normal. Rather than optimal health, we're looking at normal health. And normal does not mean optimal. So clearly, most normal reference ranges are too broad to adequately detect health problems before they actually appear. So what's the other way of looking at it? Well, we can look at functional or optimal ranges. The functional approach to blood chemistry analysis, which is what I'm doing, is based upon physiology, not pathology. So when we look at these optimal ranges, when something's within the optimum range, we can consider that from our perspective, that this is considered to be functionally optimal. So if a patient or a client is Superman and they're completely 100% healthy in every single aspect of their health, they should have every range within this optimal range. I've yet to see that. We are interested here in looking at optimal physiology. And I love physiology because physiology really is the textbook or the Bible of functional medicine. It's really how did the body evolve to function? Not at how did the body evolve to get diseased, that's pathology. I'm more interested in how did the body evolve to function and what happens in our lifestyle and our diet and lack of exercise and all of the things, the toxins that we're exposed to. What impact does that have on normal physiology that pushes us into dysfunction? And dysfunction is that realm here with the functionally low and the functionally high. That gray area tells me that something's not right in the physiological systems associated with this reference range. So when we shrink up our optimal ranges, we get a tighter reference range, and this allows us to evaluate this gray area between within the normal reference range, because you can remember this from this black bar here to here is the normal reference range. So this sort of gray functionally low and gray functionally high. We increase our ability to detect patients with changes in physiological function. We can identify factors that are obstructing the patient from achieving optimal physiological, biochemical, and metabolic functioning in their body. One of the other things that I like to look at is the relationships between elements. It's important to look at the patterns and trends between tests, as opposed to looking at just the specific elements in isolation. If you can go back to that little run through that I did, pretending to be sort of the allopathic physician, it was very element specific. Your cholesterol is normal, your LDL is normal, your DHEA is low, your lymphocytes are low or high. That's not really necessarily the best way to look at it because there's relationships that exist between these various different elements. So I like to look at that, and the software is really built around that concept. So the trends and patterns between the individual tests can provide important clues to the underlying dysfunction and an understanding of the potential cause. And this is one of the main things that makes a functional analysis different than a standard analysis. A question I get all the time is, where do these optimal ranges come from? Remember back to that slide I showed you where normal lived, and normal is a statistical calculation. Well, 20, 30, 40 years ago, some of the optimum ranges that we're looking at now were considered to be normal back then. But as our population's gotten sicker and sicker and sicker, those ranges have gotten wider and wider. They also, a lot of clinical observations and research. So these ranges are the best representations of what we would consider to be optimal levels if someone had a well-functioning physiology and were in optimal health and wellness. You know, when we evaluate results based on these ranges, we are really assessing trends towards developing dysfunction and disease in the various interconnected systems. Also, many of the optimal ranges and patterns are the results of information gathered from a study that was done called the biochemical biopsy. And this was done by Harry Eidner back in the, I think, the late 80s and early 90s. He was the, I consider to be sort of the grandfather of functional blood chemistry analysis. I studied with him, must be about 20 years ago this year, in 1995, in my second year of med school. And he sort of formulated these concepts and ideas, and I've taken those and I've done my own research, and I've talked to a lot of old-time docs and kind of have studied with, you know, Lynn August and Patricia Kane and Jim Said and a lot of these old-time docs who've kind of pioneered this work as well. I've also incorporated clinical observations doing this work for many, many years. So it's important to remember that the information you get from blood tests must be used in conjunction with information that you gather from other testing. I think it's important to realize that these aren't absolute. These are road markers. These are trends towards health. So where do we start? Well, I think the first thing to do is do kind of what I just did at the beginning here, is you look for values outside of the normal range. Those are the ones that are probably going to stand out the most. And if you can associate what those are to clinical and functional systems in the body, that's going to help. So we know that lymphocytes are connected with the immune system, specifically viral stuff. So having a viral marker like a high lymphocyte count of 47, when it really should be in the 20s, that is enough for me to go thinking, okay, there's something going on here with the immune system. What is it? Are we looking at a chronic viral issue? Are we looking at a latent viral issue? Are we looking at an acute viral issue? Same thing with the cholesterol. Although cholesterol, you know, is far too much attention is placed upon it, it is one of the risk factors for cardiovascular disease. So what's happening in the hormonal systems of the body, what's happening to the liver, what's happening to other blood fats, what happened to other cardiovascular markers in the body. So you're basically looking for those values outside the normal range, then you enter the values into the software program and you look for values outside the optimum physiological range, and then you begin your analysis by starting to look for patterns among the elements and do your report of findings presentation. So my recommendation is you have access to this piece of software. Let the software do your analysis for you. So let's jump over to the software program itself. I'm just going to log out here and log back in. So for those of you who have had an opportunity to look at your account, this is the software program. I'm going to continue once I've done kind of my little bit of a run through of my tour here. I'm going to continue to look at that case that we went through to see if we can derive a little bit more meaning what's going on with that person. But ultimately, when you come into your little dashboard here, there are four things that you can do. One is to add a new lab test. You can add a new client into the system. You can view your existing clients, or you can jump in and generate reports on clients' blood tests that are already in the system. My blood chemistry reference guide, the book that I wrote, which is available on Amazon and other places like that, is built into the software as a reference tool. And my work in progress, my clinical conditions guide, is also available for you to review. I add in stuff into this on a fairly regular basis. It's taking a little bit longer than I was hoping. But anyway, so those reference tools are available to you. So let's just look at, here's your list of patients. I have videos that show you all of these steps. So hopefully the video trainings will help you get the best or the most out of this. If you come to this page and you need to add a new patient, you can just do that from this button here. But basically, it lists all of your patients, their age, the gender, how many lab tests are in there, how many scheduled tests, and when the last test was added into the system. If you want to add a new patient, this is the window that you do that. And again, there are videos showing you how to do this. And that's where you add the patient. And once that's saved, it will take you straight into what is called the patient dashboard. So here's that case that we were looking at. So I'm going to show you what his dashboard looks like. So from this page here, you can do quite a lot in the software. So this is where individual patients' information is kind of collected. We show on this area, if there are more than one test in the system, we can do what's called an element history snapshot. So this compares all of the elements next door to one another and showing you what's happening over time as elements are added into the system. We also give you the latest functional index snapshot, so you can see quickly what's happening in the functional index. And then we do the nutrient index, and then we also have clinical dysfunction snapshot and nutrient deficiency. So you can get quite a lot from this screen as well. Also, you can edit the results. So let's say you made a mistake or you wanted to go back in and edit the results on a particular patient. And this is the screen where you would add in your blood test results. So you just add the results in here, and then you go scroll down to the bottom and you hit save, and your results get saved. We do have conversions going on. So if you had a blood test that came back from Canada or Europe that was in standard international units, you can do quick conversions here. We also have the ability to, as you're adding a blood test result into the system, to add it in standard international units, which are the units that are used outside of the US. You can add little report notes that can be included in the reports. So this is where people can put in some of the clinical findings, 26-year-old patient reports to clinic, or you could do patient goals, or you could do top clinical signs and symptoms that they may be suffering from. We also do automatically calculated fields. So a lot of these functional medicine ratios are calculated for you if you have the necessary elements added into the system. So it will start calculating the calcium phosphorus ratio and the calcium albumin ratio for you. Let's go back to the dashboard. So you can generate reports from here. So it basically pre-selects the patient for you, and then you choose which lab test you want to run the report on. And by default, it doesn't give you any product recommendations. So you'll see down here that the product summary report is not available because we don't have any products selected. So if we go in and select Apex Energetics, for instance, now this product summary report is available to you. We have 12 different product lines put into the software. Not sure if that's something that you guys want to be playing around with or not, but it is available to you. You will see here that there are certain reports that I consider to be for the practitioner only. That will be the clinical dysfunctions report, the recommended further testing report, and what to look for when values are out of range. The reason for this is that in my experience when doing consults with patients, the more information you give them about specific diseases and conditions based upon a blood test, the more they kind of tend to not listen to you because they're paying more attention to what the piece of paper is telling them rather than what you're telling them. So by only using, let's say, the functional index report, you can steer your conversation a little bit more effectively. So this is where you would select whatever reports you want to use. You can do all of them. You can do one. You can do six. One of the reasons when I would do just maybe a blood test results report is if you're getting a blood test back that doesn't have a lot of elements in them, you'll find that the functional index doesn't report as highly as possible because there are certain elements that have to be in the system in order for the functional index to really do its work. So in that situation, doing a blood test results is kind of a good idea. So let's go ahead and let's do health improvement plan, product summary, blood test results, out of optimum range, functional index, nutrient index, clinical dysfunctions, and recommended further testing. So this is that client that we were doing initially. So remember, he came in, you know, feeling low libido, poor immune function, fatigue, abdominal weight gain, muscle and joint pain, and that type of thing. So I'm going to walk through these reports for you. What the health improvement plan does is based upon the nutrient selections that you've made. It will give you the protocols for treating those conditions based upon what Apex Energetics or some of the other companies are recommending. So it gives you all of the products that are associated with a particular dysfunction. So the system basically gives you the top five clinical conditions and the top three nutrient deficiencies and gives you protocols for those. And it gives you a little rationale. The reason why metabolic syndrome is marked is because of the high glucose, the high triglycerides, the high fasting insulin, the high total cholesterol, and the low DHEA. I consider the health improvement plan to be sort of like a glossary of all the potential products in a protocol. I've often actually printed this out separately and sort of handed it to the patient, not as part of this big report, but more as sort of a separate report telling them kind of what we want to do nutritionally to deal with those issues. But anyway, here it is. It's presented here. You can do with it how you wish. You'll notice that from the practitioner level, this is a practitioner report, we have hyperlinks here. So if you aren't familiar with KR17 TestNX, you can click the link and it goes straight over to Apex Energetics. And you can look at what the ingredients are and give us a sense of what's in that particular supplement. Your patients don't see the hyperlinks. So there's hyperlinks here also from the images as well. Oh yeah, if a product is mentioned more than once, it will give you this red warning. This product has already been recommended earlier in this report. Please do not increase the dosage because the product has been listed more than once. So that's kind of helpful. Viral infections. So excuse me if I'm scrolling through this quite quickly. The product summary report basically gives you the top eight products for treating these clinical conditions and deficiencies. So these might be the best place to start. And you can put a little checkbox here and tick these off to let the patient know that you want them to take them. If for some reason you decide to use a different product or a couple of different products, you can cross this one out and say, no, I want you to take the Omega-CoA-3 and their Glycemovite. I don't know any of these products personally, but if you are familiar with them, this is like a nice little one, maybe two-page report on the individual products themselves. This is kind of where we start getting into kind of the meat and potatoes of the software. What we've done here is we're listing the current blood test. I don't have a previous blood test here, but if it did, it would be on this left side. Because in analysis and in doing reports to patients, we're always trying to see change. So whenever you're comparing two results together, we want to be able to show this is where you were and this is where you are now. So we move from left to right in terms of our interpretation. And usually there's a little icon here that shows whether or not that particular element has improved or not. If there's improvement, it'll be a thumbs up. If it's gotten worse, it'll be a thumbs down. This gives you the optimum range, the standard range, and the units that we are using. Red is anything above the ranges, and yellow is anything below the ranges. The single arrow up or the single arrow down shows that this value is below or above the optimum range. Double arrows are above the standard or normal range. And then this little triangle with an exclamation point is a marker for alarm ranges. These are too high and something to really pay attention to. So again, these are all hyperlinked. We can hyperlink straight into the blood reference guide. So it gives you a little bit of a discussion about what LDL cholesterol is. And also the hyperlink here for the up and down arrows. So if you've forgotten what an increased VLDL cholesterol is, you can click this and it jumps straight into it's an increased risk for heart disease and stroke. So you can see here the calcium albumin ratio is very high. And so let's take a look and see what that means. High calcium albumin ratio greater than 2.7 is considered an ominous sign due to malnutrition or visceral protein loss secondary to a potential pathological process. So we don't know what the process is, and but it's something definitely to pay attention to. So that's why it's got a little exclamation point here. So I think one of the important things to look at really is that we had four ranges that were outside of the standard range according to the ranges that were in that particular blood test. But what we have here in our little infographic, we know that there are 14 reference above the optimum range and 5 below the optimum range. So there's 19 values that are not within the optimum range. So there's something going on here with this particular patient. So the question is, what is it? And so we can do a lot by just looking at the various different values, but why not just let the software do its interpretation for you? Continuing on with our reports here, the Out of Optimum Range report is a very nice report for the client. It basically lists every element that's above or below the optimum range and gives you a little bit of a written info about what that element is. It tells you what the element is, the fact that it's above the range. The score was 101, and that's 260% above optimal on some level with this particular element. I don't spend a lot of time looking at this because it's not really that meaningful to me. It's more of a meaningful report for your clients. So the functional index. So what are we looking at here with the functional index? An index is a way to collectively look for change within a collection of values. Probably the most famous index is the Dow Jones Industrial Index, or those in Europe, the FTSE 100 Index. These are collections or bundles of stocks on the stock exchange. And so every moment we're looking at how many of those stocks collectively are moving up and how many of those stocks are collectively moving down, and how do we quantify that into one number? Well, that's really what we're doing here. With the immune function index, we're looking at all of the elements in the blood test that have to do with the immune system, and we're looking collectively to see how far from optimal all of those elements are moving together. So for instance, in the immune function index, we've got a 94%. So dysfunction in this system is highly, highly likely. And so we need to pay attention to that. So this says a high reading in the immune function index indicates that there is a dysfunction within your patient's immune system, and further assessment is needed to pinpoint exactly what that dysfunction is. Some of the factors to consider include immune insufficiency, bacterial or viral infections, or GI dysfunctions associated with immune function, abnormal mucosal barrier function, secretory IgA dysfunction, or dysbiosis. Based on this blood test, your patient's immune function index is 94%. Dysfunction highly likely, much improvement required. I want to give you the rationale. Why are you seeing this? Well, you're seeing it because the total white blood cell count is decreased, the lymphocyte count is increased, your monocyte count is increased, and the alkaline phosphatase count is decreased. So all of the elements that were considered in this index are listed here. We kind of had a sense that that was going on because of the high lymph count. So I'm expecting that when we go down to the clinical dysfunctions report, that viral infection is going to be quite high. So each one of these indexes is associated with a number of different dysfunctions, and usually they're listed down here in the immune function write-up. Remembering also that, that this patient's blood test results showed that their testosterone levels were all normal, the DHEA was low, but all of the free and the total testosterone were all considered to be quote-unquote normal. But when we look at it through this functional lens, we realize there's something going on here in the sex hormone index. The DHEA is low, their free testosterone was low, their total testosterone was low. So there's something happening here endocrinologically in the sex hormone area for this particular patient. None of the values that are associated with blood sugar regulation were outside of the normal range, but yet we have here the blood sugar index is 75%. And again, this is because the glucose was too high, the fasting insulin was too high, the cholesterol was too high, triglycerides were too high, and the DHEA was too low. We didn't have hemoglobin A1C. If we did, we might even have a little bit more to say about this particular situation. So I would say that the collective issues associated with blood sugar index issues would be hyperinsulinemia, metabolic syndrome, dysglycemia. There's something happening here on the blood sugar world that we need to deal with. Again, looking back at the original report, nothing was reported on the thyroid, yet the thyroid function index is too high. And again, we can scroll down and we can see why the TSH was too low and the free T3 is too high. And then the cardiovascular risk index is a little bit too high, and the lipid index is a little too high, and the gallbladder function index is too high. So despite what the blood test told us, there's actually quite a lot going on with this chap that we need to deal with. So this is the report that you would have with your patient. And if you scroll down, we have the nutrient index report here as well. There's definitely some nutritional deficiencies. We knew that the DHEA was out of balance. The zinc is pretty out of balance too. There's a need for zinc in this body, and we know that that's associated not only with the immune system, GI function, because zinc is needed as a cofactor for hydrochloric acid production, but also zinc is very, very important for male sex hormones as well. So here we are on the clinical dysfunctions, and sure enough, there's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 dysfunctions that we really should be paying attention to. Metabolic syndrome is relatively high, testosterone deficiency. The software is saying, listen, there's something going on with the thyroid. We think that it's a secondary hypothyroidism, and secondary hypothyroidism is usually an anterior pituitary and a toxicity issue. There's definitely viral issues going on with an immune insufficiency. Dysglycemia is an issue, but we know that from the metabolic syndrome, and also biliary insufficiency and biliary stasis. So blood sugar issues, testosterone issues, thyroid issues, viral immune issues, and gallbladder issues. So that's what I would say is probably going on with this chap. And again, much more information is written down here about each one of these. And then another report I like is what we call recommended further testing. And this is where when values are out of range or is pointing towards needing to do further evaluation, we make recommendations here. So the zinc deficiency, best thing to do probably is to treat presumptively with zinc, but this gives you a little report on what you can do in order to kind of get to the bottom of why the zinc deficiency. The male hormone dysfunction, showing that there's issues there. We know that there's testosterone deficiencies, there's male sex hormone issues. So this is basically saying, listen, you can either treat it or you can do some further testing and do male hormone salivary testing as well. So when you want to print a report, you hit the print PDF, and you can store the PDF on your laptop or your desktop, and then you can print out the PDF. It has a table of contents, and it has a nice little cover page on it, and has a disclaimer, and you can print patient or practitioner versions. Did want to show you quickly this whole concept of scheduling lab tests. You may or may not want to use this feature, but what we wanted to do was, if you're doing a blood test with someone, you want to get them back in again to do a repeat test. Because not only are you able to use the historical comparison functions within the software, but it's also a really good idea if you're giving someone a protocol based upon what you're finding in the blood test, is to follow up and use the same test so you can see whether or not the protocol is working. So within the system, you can actually add in a reminder. So what we do here is we've gone into the male, his patient case here, and I want to do a test in July 1st. I want to do the default male panel. I want to do conventional US, and I want to save and schedule the blood test. So now we see we have a scheduled lab test here, and then on the dashboard, we can see that this lab test is due to be run on this particular patient. Now, what happens if, you know, it goes over? I'm just gonna do this one. Just showing you different ways to get into the system. So let's say I wanted to do a lab test, let's say on the 15th, and I wanna save the scheduled test. Now I go back to the dashboard. This is now telling me it's overdue. So if you have overdue tests, these are great opportunities for you to get patients back into the office. Not only does it fill up your books, it also is opportunity to make more money in consultations, also to increase revenues from product sales and that type of thing. So it's 12:43. I've been talking for a long time. I'm definitely open for any questions that people have. If you have any questions, please use the little Q&A feature there. Dr. Rita Marie, not sure if there's anything you want to add to what's been said.
Thanks. Well, this is great because there's so much in here, and every time I see it demonstrated, I realize that there's so much more to it. And I just love how you went. I love how you did the allopathic thing first. Exactly how people come in and go, well, I just got my lab test done. The doctor says everything's fine. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And we look at it and go, oh, yeah, really. So I love that. I love that demonstration because it really brought it home. Yeah. Well, that's basically it. I mean, what I'd like to add is get in there and use this tool. And there, you know, have your family members get it done first if you want to get kind of really comfortable with it. But as I love how you've put so much into it. So it really, it becomes a learning tool for those who have not been doing this for a long time. And then it becomes a good, quick, get this done quickly tool for those of us who have been doing it for decades.
Yeah, I think that's an important piece here too, is that anytime you have a tool like this, it can have a tendency to want to bypass one's brain. And I think that, you know, software can only kind of answer yes or no questions. We've tried to build logic into it, but there's nothing quite as powerful as the human brain. So the way that I look at blood tests, Rita Marie, is that one of the first things that I do is I go straight to the blood test results report. I don't look at the functional index or the clinical dysfunctions report because I'm much more interested in what is the relationship between these values. And so this blood test results report tells me about that. So if you can train yourself to get good enough at doing blood test result analysis, functional analysis, just from this report, then you're going to be able to get a lot more out of the other reports that are available. But if this is intimidating and you don't know what these mean and you're jumping straight to looking at the indexes, then I think that you're actually missing out on an opportunity to allow for this information to inform you. And when I look at these now, I'm seeing the interrelationships that exist. And what are these individual elements? That's why, you know, this is a patient version of the report. You see there's no hyperlinks here, but you hit the nail on the head. I want this to be a tool that you can go back to not only get the reporting when you need to get it done quickly, but also to spend some time in here. You know, what does the sodium potassium ratio mean? What does it tell me about the patient and that kind of stuff? So pretty cool.
Right. That's what I think is really cool because, you know, I know what these things are, but I'll still lift them up and say, oh, let me see what else he has to say about that. And that's the way we learn because a lot of times we do on our training calls, I'll go through labs and everybody's sitting there like, whoa, how did she come up with that so quickly? Well, it's because I've been doing this over and over again, and the way you get to do it quickly is you look through these numbers and then just click on anything that's red or yellow. Click on it and really study those particular components that are off, and the more you do that, the more you're going to learn this stuff.
Yeah.
And then those reports are just gravy because what I always struggle with, well, I know what's going on with this thing by looking at it, but how do I explain that and write that up and explain it to the patient? Well, I don't have to because you've got this written here.
Yeah, that's very, very good point here. And, you know, this reference guide is, I think, really helpful, not only because it says what the high and lows optimally are, and this is all information that's in my book, but I like this one. And this is kind of where you're kind of diving underneath deeper into the systems and going, well, what other conditions could we be looking at? You know, for instance, a high blood glucose could be a sign of acute pancreatitis or hyperthyroidism or Cushing's disease. I mean, there's lots of stuff that we can look at that kind of look deeper and deeper. So my hope is that this becomes a, you know, a reference tool and also a reporting tool as well.
I agree. I love that that extra stuff because sometimes you're looking at going, this doesn't make sense. This person is doing this right. They're doing that. Why is this number still out of range? It gives you some maybe more zebras to look at. We always talk about versus zebras, but it looks at more zebras to look at and go, oh, well, maybe there is something serious going on here that we need to be investigating further.
Yeah, so, exactly. Exactly. Well, there are some questions here. Some of them are, I think, a little bit more specific to kind of how do your students use the system? Because obviously what we've built into this is because you're a training institution, we've sort of built one training site where all of you guys have user accounts for the same group. And we did that for kind of a reason so that you, Dr. Rita Marie, can use it as more of a kind of a teaching tool. My recommendation, this is just purely my recommendation, because when you put a client or a patient into the system, everybody else can see that information. So with patient confidentiality and all of that kind of stuff, I don't know whether you want to use, have sort of a kind of a rule of how patients get added into the system, whether you want to, use, you know, abbreviations or not use the patient's real name, or I don't know. But the question was, yep, we can use these accounts, you know, while we're part of the program, but when we graduate, where do we go from there? Well, I would love to see all of you start to have your own, you know, accounts with me. Unfortunately, we can't migrate client information across once it's in the, you know, the endocrinology training account. We can't move that over into your private account. So my sense is use this as a training tool. By all means, put in your family members, put in yourself, put in that odd client that you might be working with, you want to get more information. But use this really as a learning opportunity as opposed to, you know, as the be-all and end-all account that you're going to help your clients with. I hope that's okay, Dr. Rita Marie, to talk about that, but wanted to kind of give you a sense of what can be done and what can't be done whilst using the software.
And we could talk more about that on one of our training calls as far as how I would recommend you using the naming conventions. Although when I took a brief look, it didn't look like those were all coming to the same place. So that,
yeah, there's two accounts actually. You have your own private account. And then we set up a separate account. Not even sure if you have, I know Lynn probably has her own access. So we'll make sure that you have access and can kind of get in there. But maybe talk amongst everyone else so that there's a way to actually identify whose client has been put into the system. What else here? There's a question here about the different products. in the report center. I'm not sure if that's something that you maybe want to take a look at.
I would love to hear more about that, because I think I just played with it a little bit. There is an ability to put your own, like a generic or something in there, I think.
Yeah, the way that we work this is, whenever you have a reporting tool like this, we can't, just because the way the database has been built and the software works, is that it's not going to be possible for people to create their own protocols. So what we did is we contacted, or have been contacted, by some of the top nutritional companies. So the way to kind of go in there, and this may be something that you would have to do from your administrator account, is come here to the product lines and other plugins. And you can see here all the different companies that we have built into the software. So these companies have provided their protocols. We did do a generic, and basically the generic is the Metagenics protocols, but without Metagenics product names. So it's sort of like products to treat the liver, or products for a healthy prostate, and then gives a little blurb about what that might look like. So that is an option. But you may want to take a look at this and see if there's one particular product line that you like and you talk about a lot with your clients. If there isn't one and there's a company you really, really like and you think that they would like to be in the software, put me in touch with them and I'll talk to them and see what we can do. But, we've got
Thorn.
Everything.
Thorn.
Thorn may or may not want to, given their relationship with another software company, but that's definitely on my list. Thorn would be awesome.
Okay.
We'll definitely try and get that one in there. I think Thorn is one. Pure Encapsulations is another.
Yep.
I would love to get Integrated Therapeutics in. I have some contacts over there. So this is something that we continually do, is to expand. One of the nice things about having an active license is that all the upgrades are done for free. So anything that we do, new reports and that type of thing, are just part of your account that you get for free. So why don't you play around with the products and then see, I think that's probably would need to be enabled on your end.
Okay.
The one thing that is available to you guys, and I know it's not great, but you can do, when it says none here, and if there are no products, you can still do a health improvement plan. And this is what you might have thought by sort of the generic. And that basically says the results of your blood test indicate a tendency towards metabolic syndrome and need for blood sugar report. So I have a lot of users that actually just use this.
Mm.
And what they do is they then put together their own protocols. So they
right.
know, okay, I want to work with metabolic syndrome. I want to work with male testosterone deficiency. I want to work with this. And they would hand this to their clients and go, these are the things that we want to work on. And these are the products and suggestions, maybe certain handouts, maybe, for the zinc deficiency here, rather than giving them zinc, they might want to just say, listen, eat more foods that contain zinc and give them a handout or, whatever they want to do. So this gives them a little bit more control. Rather than going, yep, these 19 Metagenics products would be excellent for this patient, which
exactly.
I'm a little like, yeah.
You get like, oh, I don't really.
I wouldn't practice that way.
The way I to customize it for people, and we've got all sorts of handouts and kind of done for you handouts and checklists and things like that they have access to that they can then modify for and make it their own. And so I like this because they could say blood sugar support, and then they could have their own. Blood sugar support handout, which they could customize for their particular.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think clients actually like, like sort of more, the more bespoke or the more, tailored
right.
protocols.
I like about the report, though, is getting that, it's not necessarily to hand to the client the one related to a particular product line, but because this is training process, right? So it's like, oh wow, I wonder why that product, let me look up the ingredients. So it just becomes much more of a learning tool, like you said, using your brain to go through this rather than relying on somebody else's protocol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really important too. And one of the things that I am going to be adding in under this clinical tools is there's going to be a section for each of the companies, and so you can select Metagenics, and then it will put down all of the areas like metabolic syndrome and male testosterone deficiency, and it will list the products that are recommended for that particular product. So it becomes sort of almost like a reference tool for what products do the companies recommend for treating metabolic syndrome, what for male testosterone deficiency. So you can quite quickly check and go, well, I'm interested in metabolic syndrome. I'm interested to see what Metagenics has and Apex has and Designs for Health has, so I can actually maybe read up a little bit and go, oh, actually, I think the product that my client really needs is this product from Apex, so I'm going to put that in my protocol. Just, you know, once you've
got...
Yeah, I like that better.
That a lot. Like,
I mean, in my sort of fantasy world with my programmer who's always despairing with me because I'm always asking him to do things that are far too complicated, you know, it would be pretty cool to go into there and actually sort of almost create your own protocol. Like, I want to include that one, and I want to include that one, and kind of move them over.
That would be ideal.
I don't know if we're ever going to get there or not, because he's...
Good on you if you ask him to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, $30,000 later, we might be able to, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, there's a final question here, and it's actually quite an important one, and I'm just going to go back into the report center here. The question was, you know, when we have these little write-ups about the probabilities, and I'll show you what I'm talking about here. So these little write-ups that exist that tell us about, you kind of dive into an index or a clinical dysfunction or a nutrient deficiency, are we only showing anything above 50%? And the answer is yes. And I know that might sound frustrating because you might want to know kind of what's going on under here. But I have to also be aware that if we had a little written piece about every single condition here, this report would be over 100 pages. Mm-hmm. So we have to really focus in on, you know, what the blood test is telling us right now. So
hierarchy,
exactly. Yeah. So that's to answer that question. I think it's anything above 50%. Yeah, the gallbladder function index is included.
Well, going back to that, look, it looks like they're hyperlinked. So can they click on that for the lower ones that don't get it printed out on the report? Can
you yeah, these are part of my ongoing work of progress in my clinical conditions guide. So some of them are hyperlinked and some of them are not.
Eventually they will.
They eventually will be, yeah. So, you know, they can go in, yeah.
That's good to know.
You know, some of them are, like, I think the zinc one is, yeah, it's included in there.
Okay.
So gives you a little background. I mean, I have done some of the indexes, like the allergy index, talking a little bit about allergies, some of the signs and symptoms, how you go about diagnosing them, what are some of the causes, what are some of the diseases, and basic treatments that are considered. When I started doing this, I realized, oh my gosh, this is going to be an enormous project. So I kind of...
It's funny how we get excited about those projects and then like years later, you're still trying to finish.
I know, because, you know, then the software really took off and it was like I had more pressing needs for doing reports and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think this is awesome. It's an invaluable tool. I love it. I think I was one of the first people to ever sign up for it.
I think you were. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, okay, I'm doing this. I'm not going to miss out on this. And I've seen that you've just expanded it, and it just gets better and better all the time. So,
cool.
Yeah, I encourage you guys to really get out there and play with it and use it. We actually went through a case yesterday. Somebody had done their report on herself, it was her patient, and she ran it through. And she sent me just the printed report. So we actually went through that on screen. And it was the same way, exactly what you said. I went right to what are the findings. I, you know, skipped through the other because we really want to hone in on what's wrong here. And then you can go back. And I'm sure going back to the report after we did that, she could go back to the report in the details and go, oh, yeah, this index, that index. But I want them to be thinking, oh, yeah, like immediately you started reading that guy's case and the numbers. I'm like, oh, metabolic syndrome for sure, you know. So, and that's what I want them to start being able to think about is hearing this seemingly disparate symptoms coming up and then going, oh, but that all ties together because I've learned about, you know, metabolic syndrome, things like that.
And I'm just thinking, I mean, I love teaching and stuff. So I was thinking, wow, you know, a good way to do something would be just to print up a blood test history report on a case and give that to the students and go, okay, so go away and do a little research as to what you think might be going on just based upon this report,
right,
as a way to kind of start really training your mind. Because like you said, you know, you look at this and boom, 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 things start to appear.
Yeah, I love that. You just gave me an idea for what our
sorry, guys. Project. Yeah, you know, then you could just, you know, give them the clinical dysfunctions report afterwards and go, you know, this is what the software is finding. So maybe you can use that as a teaching tool right there.
Because they already have access to it, so darn.
Well, you can maybe do, you know, a sample case on your end that they don't have access to. I don't know. Just kind of play around
with
it.
But they don't have access.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right.
Well, thank you again.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for tuning in, taking some time out of your busy days. I love sharing this information. So, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah.